morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team at Prudential Now Realty, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I would like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how's everything been going with you?
Keeping busy, 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 busy.
You are, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, it's getting a little colder. You got the yard all buttoned up?
Oh, yeah. Pool's done.
Okay. Perfect.
But that wonderful wind we had the other day blew from the north.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, you're so used to the southwest winds when it blows from the north, it blows a whole new set of branches out of
your you're exactly right. It is that time of year for sure. In fact, I called one of my buddies over at Top Tree and Ryan and told him he needed to swing by my house in a couple of weeks and clean up a couple messes.
Oh,
nothing major, but just that time of year, you know. So just a reminder to everybody, everybody in general, but especially if you're selling, I mean, you're seeing the sprinkler blowouts this time of year, but if you are thinking about selling at all before March, please get a receipt from those folks, because a lot of times they're just, you know, blowing and running and jamming. And if you are going to sell, though, you want proof that that's been done and that will be asked for in the transaction. So just a little tidbit of information there on what's going on locally with where we're at. As always, we like to start the show off with a celebrity real estate story. And Mr. Coyne over there, apparently Tom Brady going 6-2 to start the season also gets him excited about buying real estate.
Oh, does it really?
So, yeah, apparently him and Giselle needed, not only they had just finished a huge Los Angeles home, custom home, they're building currently in Boston another mansion. But you know what's missing from that equation is New York. I mean, they've got to have New York, obviously.
So, Aaron Rodgers.
So with that, in honor of football season, they are, it looks like, under contract on a $14 million, 3,000 square foot apartment in New York. How about that price tag?
What's the price per square foot on that?
Like, oh,
that's brutal.
It is absolutely brutal. Absolutely brutal. I mean, you're getting into like thousands of dollars per square foot. So pretty crazy. But they're definitely spending some money out there. But I guess if he keeps winning,
must be nice.
Why not? So, we always like to bring it back to a little bit of reality, come back to our local real estate market. As you know, we've kind of been on a series here when we've been talking to government officials that have a role in real estate in our local market, are kind of tied into what's going on. We had the Franklin County Assessor, Steve Marks, on last week, and once again, we'd like to thank him for being on the show and talking a little bit about assessments and property valuations. So this week, we'd like to welcome to the show, I went back into an old friend from years ago. We've always kind of stayed in touch. But Skip Novakovich, Port of Kennewick Commissioner, is with us. Welcome to the show, Skip.
Well, thanks for having me, Lance. Appreciate it.
So we've been seeing, first of all, we always run all the guests through the ringer a little bit. So give us the background on Skip. How long in Tri-Cities, your family, you know?
Okay, real quick, we'll go run down. I was born in Ohio, lived in northern Minnesota, North Dakota, Walla Walla, and then the Tri-Cities since 88.
Okay.
How's that?
God, you did make a journey there.
Yeah. A little bit of a tidbit. My dad bought a newspaper in North Dakota, a little small town called Cullum, that was actually owned by Angie Dickinson's parents prior to him purchasing it.
Wow.
Little bit of the history there.
Definitely. And you've got family in the area?
Yes, I have a son that's here.
Okay.
And then
right.
I have two daughters, one that's in Tualatin and one that's in Snohomish. Both of them have two of my little bitty grandchildren.
Okay, fantastic. And on top of just being, for those that don't know, you're being commissioner with the Port of Kennewick, you're also a local business owner?
Correct, yeah. My wife and I own a spree in downtown Kennewick. We started that company in 89, so we'll be 25 years old next year.
Okay, well, fantastic.
Yeah,
well, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's awesome. So we always like to tell people how How did you become a commissioner for the Port of Kennewick? what was going on?
Ben went to the bathroom, and when he came back,
we talked to the,
that's pretty close.
We talked to the mayor of Kennewick, and he said that's how he became mayor.
So, that's not quite the case.
So, but tell us how what drives that? How you become commissioner at the port?
Well, I was involved in downtown Kennewick redevelopment for a number of years, and just really, really liked it. And so through that, I got to know a lot of people that were in local government and appreciated what they did, and I was interested in economic development, helping small businesses achieve, creating jobs, and it's something I really liked. And so actually several people came to me and says, why don't you run for the Port of Kennewick? I said, well, I never thought about that, but okay. And actually Shirley Hankins, former state rep, came in and said, yep, you really need to do that. That would be a good fit for you. So I did. I won, and then I was filling an unexpired term for a while, so I had to run again, I think, either the next year or 2 years. I'm not sure now, and unopposed. So I'm in there. You're stuck with me for another 4 years now.
Okay. Well, fantastic. And one of the things, like, that, you know, wants me to bring guests like you to the show and talk about real estate. And actually, you guys break it down really well. I did a little research before we had you on the guest. I was reading an estimation of if you have a $150,000 home in Kennewick, that roughly that equates to $50 of those taxes end up with you guys at the Port of Kennewick. And so I thought, gosh, let's tell the listeners, you know, what's that $50 goes towards, and let's check in and see what's going on.
Well, let me brag a little bit about that, because actually in the last 10 years, our levy rate has decreased.
Exactly. There also.
$150,000 house, if that's the number, was somewhere in the $80 a year, and now it's down to $50.
Yep.
And yet, everyone in the Port of Kennewick, every constituent owns the Port of Kennewick. It's owned by the taxpayers. And their equity is actually increased by 80-some percent in that same time.
So, yeah,
I mean, levy rates go down. You know, we've got $10 million in the bank.
Yeah.
Almost no debt. So the Port of Kennewick is very, very financially strong. And we've got, which we'll talk about later, Lance, but I'm sure you want to hear, three huge projects that I think everybody would be interested in.
Well, we're excited to talk about that a little bit. I guess before we jump into one of those projects, I know it's hard to maybe sum up in a couple sentences, but what all does the Port of Kennewick, what does that really encompass?
You mean area-wise?
Yeah, area-wise and function-wise.
Well, we're about a 485-mile-square-foot district. We go from the Columbia River on the east to Benton City on the west to the Yakima River on the north to the Columbia River on the south.
Gotcha.
So we take in five jurisdictions, obviously unincorporated areas of Benton County, West Richland, part of Richland, all of Kennewick. Benton City, part of Benton City. So we deal with five different jurisdictions, and our main mission is economic development and creating jobs.
That is so important too, and one of the things that makes Tri-Cities great.
Absolutely.
Is having something like that. Well, let's jump into some of those projects. So you've got three big projects going on. Just jump right in there with number one and let us know what you're working on.
Well, the big project right now that everybody's reading about in the paper is the wine village that we're looking at establishing down on Columbia Drive. And that's an area that's been neglected. East Kennewick's been neglected for a long, long time. The port's been buying up property down there for a number of years, and actually between the cable bridge and the causeway onto the island, now own about 16 of those 28 acres.
Okay.
And if you've driven down there, you've seen how the port's torn down buildings, cleaned it up, actually gotten rid of a lot of crime, especially around the old Chieftain Motel that's been demolished.
Gotcha.
So we're looking now at working with Gary Black in a partnership with the city of Kennewick to establish a wine village. But the real key to it is that we need a treatment effluent plant that the city would provide in one of our buildings to treat the wastewater coming from the small boutique wineries. We're not looking at big industrial-type wineries. We're looking at more boutique wineries, and then complement those with possibly a farmer's market, possibly an artist colony, where artists could actually come in and work in various small studios with their sculptures or paintings or whatever, and then display them out in front in a building we'd rehab.
Gotcha. Yeah, well, that is, you know, and I actually even had someone contact me, a number of people, they had seen the articles in the paper and asking about gosh, what do you think this is going to do to property values, you know, down in that area? And so I kind of gave my perspective on that. I mean, projects like that are what really get people excited about moving to an area like that or being around something
that
like that.
That is absolutely correct. This whole thing started back in 2002 with the Urban Design Assistance Team, and I don't know how many thousands of regional citizens participated in that on a visioning process of what they'd like to see between the two bridges and from the river to the railroad tracks in downtown Kennewick. And so it's gone through some reiteration of changes, but the basic foundation is that UDAT plan of 2003. And right now it's just coming to fruition. We're looking forward to a partnership with the city. The port actually approved the interlocal agreement at our last meeting last week.
Oh, excellent.
And the city will look at approving it, I believe, on November 5th.
Oh,
but once that's approved, we're hoping to start, quit talking and start moving some dirt.
Oh, cool. Well, fantastic. Well, we've seen a lot of changes. If you haven't driven down by there, you've seen a lot of things getting changed and taken down, and that landscape's already changed dramatically.
It has. And give us till 2015, and you'll be surprised.
Well, fantastic. We're coming up against our first break here. We've been talking with Skip Novakovich with the Port of Kennewick. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit to our resident in-house lending expert, Mr. Tom Coyne with Sterling Bank.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been here talking with Port of Kennewick Commissioner Skip Novakovich about some very exciting real estate projects going on in the Tri-Cities and what's happening there. But as always, we like to get an update on the lending side of things with the residential lending. Tom, what's going on in your world? It's been busy again.
Yeah, you know, we've seen rates drop again.
I was surprised to see that. I mean, we all come out of this government shutdown mess and everything, and then we see some rates drop.
It's basically the lowest we've seen it in a few months. So
yeah.
It's really great news for people who are in the market right now or getting ready to get in the market. It's an excellent time to purchase because of this drop in rates. So it's not as low as it was during the first quarter of the year, but it's pretty darn close. So it's pretty exciting to see those interest rates dropping down. But what I want to talk about today was VA loans. I've been seeing a lot of VA loans lately. Generally, I'll see maybe one application a month or so, but it seems like in the last 2 weeks we've had five or six. So it's a great, great program, and it's a way to help reward veterans for the service they put into their country. Now, obviously, it doesn't go all the way to say really how much we should be thanking them, but it's a great program. It's only eligible for veterans. Now, you can actually be active service as well. Your veteran benefits officer can tell you what the requirements are to be able to qualify, but it's a great program we offer, and it is the best zero-down loan out there. So traditionally, you get lower rates than typical financing, so better rates than, say, conventional.
Gotcha.
It's going to have the same rates as FHA. But what's so great about VA is that there's no monthly mortgage insurance. So it gives someone really low affordable payments. Any other program out there where you're not putting 20% down, you're basically going to pay this up for the monthly mortgage insurance in addition to, say, any upfront mortgage insurance that you have. For a purchase, we'll go up to $417,000 loan amount. There isn't an income limit like a lot of other programs have, and we'll allow manufactured homes with this program. So it's really big in this area.
Yeah, there's a lot of things in there that you won't get anywhere else,
right?
Sure.
Absolutely. Now, for refinances, we'll do what's called interest rate reduction refinance loans. Closing costs can be financed right into the loan. We don't have to do full credit qualifying, which basically means that there's more relaxed guidelines. You don't have to do the full approval like you would on a VA purchase. We do have to get an appraisal. We got to verify employment and income. You can't have any late in the last 12 months on your mortgage. Again, we do allow manufactured homes for this program as well, but you cannot do investment properties.
Gotcha.
Now, a VA, you can do a cash-out refinance up to 90% of the value of the home, which is really great for a lot of people. Maybe they're consolidating debt or they want to take some cash out and purchase an investment property. We've talked about that a lot. But even going up to 90% on the cash-out refinance, there's still no monthly mortgage insurance, even though you're above that 80% loan-to-value. For the cash-out refinance, we don't allow manufactured homes, though.
Gotcha.
Now, again, some of the program benefits, 100% financing for the purchases, zero down payment, no monthly mortgage insurance. We'll do both fixed rate and adjustable rate options. Adjustable rate loans, I know we've talked about this. In certain circumstances, it makes sense for borrowers. It's really a case-by-case basis. Be happy to talk with clients about that. Now, there is a VA funding fee. It goes directly to VA, and it's tiered based off of how much you're putting down. Have you used a VA loan before? Is this maybe your second or third time using a VA loan? But if you put 5% down, it drops it significantly, basically in half. So there is a benefit to putting a little bit down, but still the downsides of paying this upfront mortgage insurance is greatly, it's not as big as an impact as saying not doing the monthly mortgage insurance. Now, something I came across here this last week that I didn't know is I was always under the impression you can only have one VA loan at a time. Now, I had a client who had a property that he used to live in. It's got VA financing on it. He since moved out of that area. He's turned it into a rental property. He's moving here to Tri-Cities. And after some further research, I found that you indeed can have more than one VA loan at a time. So that's kind of a misconception. There's a worksheet we have to fill out to determine how much of a home they can purchase. But it's a great tool for veterans, and be happy to talk with anyone that wants more information on it.
Yeah, no, we deal with a lot of that on my end of the side, too, when we're helping people look for homes. And yeah, it really is, in that instance, a great program. And I have ran into that once before where, yeah, they can have multiple at the same time. So sometimes it just opens up the options for our veterans. So once again, we always appreciate the service they've given, and this is a great program to help them on this end of things when they're back ready to buy. So good information, and I know Tom is up to speed with all that stuff. If anybody has any questions, either get a hold of myself or we can get you to Tom at Sterling and help you out with those VA loans. That's great you're doing so many of those right now.
Yeah, it is a great service for those veterans, and one little way we can help say thanks.
Perfect. Thank you, Tom. That sounds great. So we, I know, Skip, you said there's three major projects you're super excited about. We talked a little bit about the Wine Village down in Kennewick. Talk to us about a couple of your other projects you have going on.
I'll be happy to, Lance. Before I do that, I'm excited about what Tom has to say, and I may want to come talk to you. I'm a retired Army Lieutenant Colonel.
Okay, fantastic. Perfect.
Yeah, well, in addition to the Wine Village, I think people have read that the Port of Kennewick closed Vista Field, which is 112 acres right in the middle of Kennewick, actually right in the middle of the Tri-Cities, that we're looking at redeveloping. And we've got some ideas for that. We want to establish a community, I guess, advisory type group, visionary group put together. Then we've got some names, and we're looking at establishing that after the first of the year. And we're actually taking a trip to visit next week. We're going to Miami to visit some people that do this type of development and see what they've done and give us some examples of it. They're the same people that did the study on Vista Field, the DPZ team.
Okay.
That did the excellent study on Vista Field. And we're looking at employing them to how to redevelop Vista Field into a real community asset, a community center, basically.
Well, that is a big chunk of prime property.
Absolutely.
Right where the growth has, you know, kind of enveloped around it. So.
Absolutely. And one thing we don't want to do is we don't want to just turn it over to one developer to develop whatever is going to be best for the bottom line for him. The Port of Kennewick, obviously, is a public entity, and we don't necessarily have to make a profit on everything we do. So what we want to do is establish something that matches the community's vision.
Gotcha.
And we want to make sure that we provide something that's going to be a tremendous asset in the future. Then the other thing we've got, Lance, is we've got a 92-acre racetrack property out in West Richland, right at the base of Red Mountain.
Yes, I've actually been out there recently. We had a little charity event that one of the car clubs hosted out there. So
that's awesome.
I've seen it firsthand, but I can definitely say it's for somebody like me, it was great. Probably not in condition to be a professional race player, though.
Oh, come on.
It was perfect for my skills. So yeah, what's going on out there?
Well, actually, right now, we're working with the city of West Richland on their UGA application. They're trying to get the racetrack property into their urban growth boundaries so that they can extend utilities to this property. And as you know, we're also working with West Richland, the county, and the state, and the Washington Department of Transportation on the Red Mountain Interchange, which would then open up that whole area to I-82. West Richland's the only city between the Tri-Cities and Seattle that has no freeway access. They're basically landlocked.
Gotcha.
So if that interchange can go through, and I believe it's number two on WashDOT's list of projects to take on, it's about a $28 million project.
Wow. Yeah, so, that's incredible.
Yeah, but if that happens and it opens that up, it'll go right past that racetrack property on into West Richland. And, of course, with the racetrack property being at the base of Red Mountain, we're talking to West Richland about putting in a large winery treatment, effluent treatment plant there to treat wastewater and then establish more industrial-type wineries out there.
Gotcha.
So that the two wine areas that we're looking at will be very, very compatible and not compete with each other.
Well, yeah, I mean, there is a lot. As we've kind of transitioned in this area to ag and ag tourism-type business is like that, I'm finding that a lot more folks, even on the residential side of real estate, you know, are contacting us, or they've come to the area on a wine tasting trip, or they've seen the area, and that's how they were introduced to Tri-Cities. And we've had friends from college, you know, we went with them, now come from Portland and Seattle, and it's always like, oh, I had no idea this was over here.
That's true. Yeah, most people don't. And, of course, the Visitor Convention Bureau is doing a great job of promoting that. And we're hoping that if we can establish these two areas, it'll just strengthen the wine industry in this area.
Well, that's great to see. And when we have projects like that, we naturally just start to see property values increase as that becomes kind of a destination-type area. So talk to me about... So far, what do you think has been your biggest success with the port?
Well, that's a tough one because there's been a lot of successes. But I think actually determining what the true costs of Vista Field were,
okay,
what the actual costs of running that airport were, what the benefits were, and finding that through the DPZ study, and then realizing that it's a no-brainer that airport needs to be closed to save the taxpayers' money and be redeveloped. I think that has to be probably the biggest success story right now.
Okay.
Second one is probably going to be this interlocal when it's signed by the city of Kennewick to actually get something moving down on the waterfront with this wine village.
Yeah, well, over the years with everything that has been... you know, it's amazing how the look of Clover Island and that area down there has changed with some of the new buildings and the entrance and how that's been. I mean, it just has an amazingly different feel than it did, you know, 5-6 years ago.
Thank you. And it's brought people to the island. I mean, we see people there now walking around. They're not afraid to be there. Where prior, the island and the Columbia Drive area was kind of a seedy area where you didn't really want to go or take your family. And, you know, David Cedars has done a tremendous job of staying alive through that. But right now, he's just grinning ear to ear. As the other people, the other business people on the island. And we've got interest from a number of people that would like to either build or lease some land on the island and, you know, and develop it. So, but we're going to be real careful. We only want the proper mix.
Right. And that's challenging. And yeah, when you get an environment like that, you know, whether it be anything from a business group to an office environment, you really have to protect that environment.
Absolutely. You know, a real success is, you know, we built the Yacht Club building, and the Yacht Club occupies the bottom floor, and we have lease space up above. We have one tenant in there and room for more. But because we did that and made that improvement, the Yacht Club spent over $500,000 improving their docks and various things on their own. So, you know, lots of times it takes the public sector to make some investment before the private sector will jump in. But the rate of return usually is tremendous.
Yeah, well, that is phenomenal, and it's great to see our area transition there. So the big question, the hard one, is as we wrap up here, comes down to as you look at the rest of your term and what you're dealing with there at the port, what are going to be some of the challenges that you guys really have to overcome in the next couple of years?
Well, I think we're going to have a transition, obviously, on the commission. So we'll have one, possibly two new commissioners I will have to deal with. That's going to be...
Whether you want to or not.
No, that's a public choice.
That's a public choice.
Yeah, and I guess how I deal with them, they can decide what to do with me in 4 years.
Okay, perfect. I love it.
But no, I think we've got some really good candidates. I really like working with Don Barnes that we've appointed. He's been tremendous. He's come on and picked up things very, very quickly. I think one of the challenges we're going to have is, how do we manage all these projects? How do we, with a small staff of, I think there's 12 people there,
right?
How do we manage all these projects without getting too scattered and only doing part of one and not completing it? That's going to be the challenge, is prioritization.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And, man, it's just incredible. I really can't thank you enough for taking the time. I know you're, you know, at the port and running a local business. I really appreciate you taking the time to come down and talk to our listeners about this. And those are, I mean, those, all those projects really impact, you know, where those dollars are being spent from the real estate owner's perspective, and then also kind of driving property values in the long term for our area. So
absolutely.
Thanks for working on all those amazing projects.
Thank you for having me.
I'm excited to see, you know, to have you on the show in a couple of years again.
I'd be happy to.
See how some of those have transitioned. So once again, Tom with Sterling Bank. Tom, if people have any questions on the lending side, how do they get a hold of you?
Well, you can call me at 783-7300 or on my website at tomcoinhomeloans.com.
Perfect. And once again, you can always go to kenmoreteam.com. If you'd like to get a hold of myself or any of our guests, you can always get a hold of us at kenmoreteam.com. And once again, thank you, Skip, for being on the show.
Thank you for having me, man.
You betcha. And we'll be right back here next Saturday morning.
Right here on News Talk 870.